Valeu. Apanhei.
Welcome to the Kingpin of Pop Culture Podcast, where we give you the latest and greatest news in the entertainment industry and review movies and TV shows new and old. And now, here's your host, the Kingpin.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Kingpin of Pop Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Kingpin, aka Mr. Carry On, and I'm here with my buddy, Mr. Peter.
Hey guys.
And in this episode, we'll be talking about our top, well, I have top two, and you have your top three, like, favorite trilogies, and what we think a perfect trilogy is, and what it should be.
I'm older, so I have more. I've seen more.
Before we start, I just want to, like, talk briefly, because I was watching The Walking Dead, because I'm thinking, like, we should also talk about, like, the perfect show. Yes. Like, the perfect TV show. I know there's, like, because I feel like there should be, like, a limit in a TV show, like, amount of seasons.
Exactly,
I feel like past maybe, like, past seven seasons, I think it gets too repetitive for any show.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, like, I was watching The Walking Dead, and I'm up to season 5, and it's perfect, like, so detailed. And so season 4 was about how Rick is saying, like, I don't know if you can come back. Am I able to come back from this, all the bad things that I've done? And then this whole season, it's about, like, is he able to come back? Are you not? Herschel's the one that's, like, saying, yes, you can come back. We're all able to come back. And we also see the governor also going through the same thing. Can he come back? Like, and we see him also, like, trying to fight it, like, he can come back, but then, like, he went towards the wrong path. And then towards the end of the season, spoilers if you haven't seen The Walking Dead, but when Herschel is, like, on his knees, the governor is about to kill him, and then Rick is like, you and your camp can live with me in the jail also. Like, you can still come back from this. You can still come back from this. And then you see Herschel, he's smiling, because he now knows, like, Rick now feels like you can come back from this. Mm-hmm. And then the governor says, liar. And then kills Herschel. Oh my God. Gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
And then, there's no going back.
After a few more seasons, let's see if you say something.
It's just, those first seasons are beautiful, I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the beginning, everything, the Walking Dead has been really, really good. But then it's about survival in the end. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the plot becomes repetitive. The same exact theme of them being a group, and there's always a town or a place that they go to, and whoever is in there is evil, and then they try to take over, and it keeps repeating the same
thing. They can't catch a break. Again.
So I'm like, okay, change it a little. I mean, like, get some military or something. I don't know, something.
Man.
But you know, it is a good show, and I liked it up to the point that I started getting repetitive. Like you said, after they're perfect until a point.
I think perfect, like, shows. I think most shows, like, lose its momentum after seven seasons, I think. Because Supernatural also goes downhill by season 7. The Walking Dead also, kind of.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy also went down. But, let's get back to it. I want you to start, since you have more than, you have three, right? Three trilogies that you think are perfect. So, So explain first, like, what you think a perfect trilogy is.
To me, what I think a perfect trilogy should be in the sense of film is that the trilogies have been made together. In other words, there's a whole story that flows from one to the other to the other, and that there is a beginning and a conclusion of the third movie, and it flows perfectly, that there is no changing the topic, changing the ideas. There is just one idea throughout the whole thing. Same, you know, you could say the same character, same whatever monster, or same whatever it is, danger, has to be the same, has to be, you know, throughout the three films. So, or if it is a comedy, you know, that is within the same exact story. It's one story, not many stories. So, in other words, you will get the complete picture if you see all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, is a perfect trilogy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, especially, like, if it's about, like, one character, you really have to follow his footsteps, where he's going, and you also have to try not to be repetitive each movie as he progresses, because it's not gonna be the same problem. Like, if your character is progressing, it's not gonna have the same predicament, you know? At least, yes. Emotional-wise. Like, you can have the same, like, plot, but as I feel like, as long as, like, it's different emotions or character development he's going through, I think it's... Because, essentially, the sequel is there for people to watch what they saw before, you know?
Exactly, yes.
Let me guess your top three trilogies before you start. So, this is not in order. So,
okay.
So, this is the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yes, that's one.
Aliens, which we just talked that's, about. Aliens trilogy.
That's two.
Back to the Future.
No.
Oh.
You won't guess it. The third one, you won't guess it.
RoboCop.
Nah, to me, it was only the first movie that was good.
I still love the second one.
The second one was okay, but yeah, it was okay. It's okay. It was good.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to think of one. Spider-Man.
No.
Sam Raimi's Spider.
The Bourne trilogy.
Oh, okay. Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
Yes.
Matt Damon's good. He's a good actor.
No, what I'm saying, it was like, remember the of my perfect trilogy, the what I believe this should be is a full story. It's mm-hmm. a one that flows from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets, you know, it either gets good or it's just one whole movie together.
Right.
And the Bourne trilogy, Jason Bourne, you know, is a perfect trilogy. I mean, you know, he loses his memory, and by the third movie, he knows, you know, it flows, you know. Mm-hmm. He starts remembering through movie one, two, and three. He starts remembering, he starts progressing, that the actors remains the same, the theme remains the same, everything remains the same, but good.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't lose quality in the process.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the advantage of... making a movie that way, like following the next movie taking place right after
exactly.
that the first movie happened.
Exactly, because with the Bourne, they tried to do Bourne Legacy, which is with a different character, a different person, like a side story of the Bourne trilogy, and it failed.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't good. I saw it. It was an okay movie, but it doesn't belong in the trilogy. You know, mm-hmm. they just, you know, I think sometimes the film industry, the studios, they just want to see where they can cash some money.
Yeah, they just want to milk it out. Yeah.
Exactly. And they end up ruining the idea
mm-hmm.
that they had, because Legacy did not do well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was an okay movie. But it was not up to par with Jason Bourne, you know, with the Bourne trilogy.
So explain like his like story arc or like what the story is of Bourne.
Well, the Bourne trilogy is the main character is Jason Bourne, he loses his memory. He gets attacked. You know, he gets shot. You know, I think in the back or in the head or somewhere. He gets shot. I don't remember exactly where. But then he's found. But the thing is that he lost all his memories from the bullet or from the impact. Mm-hmm. It so happens that he, in reality, he's a trained assassin, a military trained assassin. You know, like top elite type of killer, top of the line, the best, mm-hmm. you could say. But in one mission, he had a moment of morality, a moment of consciousness, that he decided not to kill the target. But that same target is the one that shot him, you know, and that's why he lost the memory. So the whole story is him getting back to who he is and who made, because he knows what, he doesn't know who he is, but he's able to know everything of his training and everything. He knows everything. Mm-hmm. The only part that he doesn't know is who he is, but he knows everything else. So the movie is him the whole trilogy is him figuring out who he is, and also the government trying to kill him because he's a liability. Now that, you know, he was supposed to be dead. He's not supposed to be alive. So, and he knows things that he shouldn't know, and so the government wants to kill him. So he has to make allies within, inside and outside. And it becomes a nice mixture of action, drama. It's very exciting. There's some romance in there, but the action itself is legendary. I mean, if you talk to anybody who has seen any of these films, mm-hmm. the action itself, the camera angles, the way of the fightings are excellent. Also, the action with the shotguns and the gun and the snipers and everything is action after action after action. You do not get bored, you know, watching this trilogy. Mm-hmm. It's a trilogy that I recommend 100%. You won't fall asleep on this. Yeah. You know, it is also a movie. It's a trilogy that, even though it's so good, It's not a trilogy that you're going to be watching over and over and over and over again. Mm. You'll watch it a few times and everything, but, you know, well, that's it. There are other trilogies that are, like, you can watch it at any point, yeah. at any moment. But this, to me, that's the best, one of the best trilogies that I've seen.
You think you can't watch it again because of the shock value, or?
Exactly. It's knowing, because you are taken along with him, you're discovering with him who he is. Mm-hmm. And now after the move, the third one, you already know who he is. The mystery is gone. Mm-hmm. Who he is gone. Who's going to help him is gone. You know, it's like you already know everything. All the thriller, all the suspense is yeah. gone. What remains is the action. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to, I would see it again just for the action. But it loses that suspense, you know, that what comes next suspense.
Right.
But it still is still a good movie. Still, I recommend it 100%.
You know? I should check it out, yeah. Because I actually have the access to it, so. At least it's the first excellent. One, so, yeah.
It's an excellent trilogy. I recommend it to anybody, you know, that likes films to see it. That's why it's so people mention a lot of that movie in other movies, you know. Mm-hmm. And they have imitated that, you know, they have imitated the concept and also the style of the movie, because yeah. it works, you know. And they're trying to, you know,
especially make money the pace, actually. Like, I really like the pace. Where it goes, like, takes place right after the first one, right after the second one.
Exactly. It's a really good movie. Both, yeah. all three movies are really good.
And
how about you?
So, one of them, I don't know which one, I'll start with Toy Story. because
that's a great thriller.
Perfect. The like 1-3 because let's face it, the fourth one was only made to get some more money, which I hated.
Yes.
Like, also kind of, I wished it ended with 3. Like 4, it's good, but it just.
They needed to sell toys.
Yeah. It just left a bad taste so much. Ugh.
Yeah. Forky, Sporky.
Like, they went their separate ways. They didn't have to. Woody and Buzz.
Yeah.
They went their separate ways. No, that's not how it should go.
They should have been in together. I know what you're saying.
But, like, even, like, I respect, like, Disney Pixar so much because they're so, like, detail-oriented, especially, like, Pixar. Because yes. they tend to research everything of everything. Because even in, like, Ratatouille, they would research, like, what does a rat do? Like, they would research everything they, like...
Yeah, their movements and everything, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, it's hard to do a perfect children... Well, it's not hard. It's actually really easy to do a children's movie. But with the children, like, it's... Like Cars. Cars is... Well, to me, a perfect movie is having a character that, let's say... So, it's a toy, right? So... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As a movie maker, you would want the toy to have conflict of a toy. You, like, it would not make any sense if you're ignoring the fact that it's a toy... And it's having exactly. His own maybe lover problems or something. That yes. It's like what they did with Cars. Like, there is no reason why they are cars. The only reason they were made as cars is for money grabs to get some toys. To sell toys. They went through conflicts that a toy would have. So
yes.
Like the first one was about there's a new toy now. Now everybody's gonna focus on that new toy, and now Woody's felt left out, and the struggles of what he's going through. Like after that, like Andy's not playing with Woody all the time, and yeah, there's conflict with that. And then the second one, we see that old like toys have value, and then we see like Woody is worth a lot. And then we see his conflict of the guy that owns Al's Toy Barn trying to get that toy. And I like mm-hmm. that there was conflict within each, like, movie. Like, it doesn't really have to be, for a children's movie especially, it doesn't really have to be about the character overall. But as long as the conflict... is layered,
yes,
and makes sense. I think it's still a good trilogy.
Exactly.
And even in the third one, where Andy's all grown up, he's given away his toy. He wants to keep the toys, but also give it away. There's like a in between because he's going to college, and then they go to this daycare, and then it's a whole mess. And I like that. That you as a toy would have to grow up also and move on from this person that you've been with for the kid's whole life, and you have to move on, Andy has to move on, and you have to grow from that and move on. And that's why I like the ending where Andy finally gives the toys to Bonnie. And then that's mm-hmm. how it should have ended. Like,
they moved.
Everybody
on.
Moved on, and like they were happy that they moved on. That's exactly how it should have happened, and that's why the fourth one was good, nostalgic wise.
But it wasn't necessary.
Was not really. It was really just for cash grab. Toy Story was the perfect trilogy at the time. And did you know the casting for Woody and Buzz was going to be John Goodman?
Yes, I know who he is.
From Monsters, Inc., the two duos, yes. John Goodman, and then I forgot his the other guy's name.
I don't remember his name.
But the guy that played Mike Wazowski, he was going to be Woody, and John Goodman was going to be Buzz.
Oh, okay, okay.
Which it kind of actually still, they still would go together. Sense,
yeah. it would have worked too.
Yeah, but they decided to put him for Monsters, Inc. instead.
It makes sense, it makes sense. But they did good with the casting of the Toy Story.
Yes, yeah, it's
good. The voice good. Acting, it was, you know, it was, the voices were pretty good.
Yeah, amazing. Perfect.
You could see the voice matching the face of the toy. That's the thing.
So yeah, it was perfect. I forgot the name of the guy that played Potato, Mr. Potato Head. But he was a great comedian. Yeah. But he passed away after the third one, a few years after.
It wasn't Bernie Mac, right?
No.
That was, he passed away way before.
He was an old man. But that's why they had to reuse his voice on the fourth one. Because you could tell in the fourth one, he was just regurgitating lines that he said, like, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
But, yeah, to me, a perfect trilogy is a progression of characters. And you have to be careful not to be repetitive of each movie. Each movie would have, like, a different conflict, type of conflict for the character. And that character to grow from the conflict. Because, like, the Mighty Ducks trilogy, it was so horrible. Like, now I understand why there's no trilogies for, like, sports movies. Because it's so horrible. It's the same conflict each movie. The same thing. We suck now for some reason, and now we have to fight this other team. And then later, oh, we're good. We actually know how to play.
Exactly.
And the second one, the same thing. The third one, the same thing. No,
it becomes repetitive.
My God, yeah.
You should have been stayed good.
Yeah, exactly. And then even the characters did a whole 360, like, in the wrong way. Especially, like, from 1 to 3, it was completely wrong. Because there was a Spanish character that was introduced in the second Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
Luis Mendoza, his name was. And then the third one, they made him so stereotypical. A stereotypical, quote-unquote, Spanish guy. That he's a perv. He's flirting with girls in the college.
Yeah, but it passed that now.
And then he goes under the lunchroom table and sees girl skirts. And then he's looking at the camera, smiling. Like,
yeah,
what is that?
Yeah.
That just irked me so much.
No,
I was like, why? And then because even in the second one, he knew how to stop. Because the second one, his problem was he couldn't stop. He didn't know how to stop in the hockey rink. He didn't know how to stop in the skates. And then in the end of the second one, he knew how to stop. And then the third one, they just ignored it, and he's like, "Oh no, I don't know how to stop anymore." Like, what is that?
So he went back to the same.
Exactly.
Actually, worse.
Yeah. So, my opinion, the worst trilogy is the Mighty Ducks trilogy. But
yeah, there's quite a few there.
There's a bunch.
There's a bunch that were I don't know how they actually made it.
Because now trilogies are just made to get money. Really?
Exactly.
Not really for story anymore.
Exactly. There's no story. Like, you're right. There's no story. There's no character development. There's no nothing. No. It's just they pack action or something and just throw it at you to see if you buy it. That's it.
Yeah. That's why there's more, like, I feel like there's more cartoon trilogies than any other type of trilogies because... Just regurgitate it because the toys will sell. Toys will sell. Especially Minions. Like, they'll sell. Even the Minions mini movie. It felt like a mini movie that they extended to an hour and something.
Exactly.
It's horrible.
Gotcha.
to our show. This is the Kingpin of Pop Culture Podcast.
But back to your choice. Which one are you going to go to next? Which trilogy?
Next, I would say the most famous trilogy ever made, which is Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's from the 1970s. And still today, it's one of the best movies ever made. I mean, it's very rare that you find somebody who hasn't even seen it or haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
But I mean the original.
Yeah.
Three movies, which is part 4, 5, and 6. After that, they made the prequels, which is part 1, 2, and 3. And after that, they made the sequels, which is 7, 8, and 9.
But just one question before. They weren't called episode 4, 5, and 6, right? Like to begin with, or were they called 4, 5, and 6?
Yes, they actually were called in the lettering when it came up, and when they're announcing the movie, it would say part, you know, A New Hope part 4. You know, because basically these were books.
Oh, okay.
So this is the part 4. They decided to start from that point.
Oh.
So it was part 4, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
The character development was excellent. They developed every single character the way they should. Is, you know, just to give the audience a little bit of what they are. It's, you know, it's just the name, it says it all, Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's a time in a galaxy far, far away. It's all spaceships, Jedi Knights, lightsabers, lasers, and everything. It's like, for those who know Buck Rogers, you know, it's kind of that thing that was back in the days. Something relating to now, like Star Trek, like Babylon 5, those type of sci-fi, those movies. But this was the pioneers.
This really blew up everything.
They knocked it out of the park. It was part 6, you know, we meet Luke. He's the son of, well, I don't want to say, but, you know, because if you haven't seen the trilogy, you have to see it.
You know. They've probably seen it, or they probably know of it.
Yeah, because now I wouldn't consider the last three movies part of the canon, because they have nothing to do with the canon. So, you know, I don't want to get into the reason for that, but you could say the ones that George Lucas was involved in. George Lucas, not the company.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that he was involved with were excellent, were perfect. Okay, the prequels were not that great, but they were still within the topic, and mm-hmm. they follow one another, and they made sense. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Star Wars, New Hope. You know, we meet Luke, we meet Leia, we meet Princess Leia, we meet Han Solo, Chewbacca, C-3PO, R2-D2, which are like the main characters. And we see a lot of progression in part 2, that we meet Darth Vader, which is, you know, the evil executioner. We meet the Emperor, then part 3, you know, like in part 1, there's this huge Death Star. It's like a spaceship that destroyed planets. So, you know, it was made by Darth Vader and the Emperor, and Luke basically blew it up. So that was A New Hope, basically the rebels rebelling against the Empire. Now, part 2 is The Empire Strikes Back. This one, literally, The Empire Strikes Back. It becomes, you know, basically they win on this one. They drive them out.
Mm-hmm.
They basically win the war, win the battle, which is something that I found very interesting, that in an actual movie, you know, like in The Empire Strikes Back, you know, they didn't have this theory that the good guys always have to win. that is always perfect, that is always a happy ending. There's always, you know, in part two, you know, the Empire tracks the rebels down. They want to capture Luke. There's something that happens with Luke and Darth Vader that which I'm not going to say, that you guys have to find out when you see the movie. So they want Luke to join the Emperor and Darth Vader. But, you know, they tried to capture him, but he was able to escape. Mm-hmm. But he was hurt and everything. The plans that they had didn't work. So the movie ends. And now then we have Return of the Jedi. So this is when now Luke goes back. And now he saves those who were taken in part two. He mounts a resistance, an attack against the Emperor and Darth Vader, and they win. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it follows, it is a good flow, and every single character gets developed properly. You become attached to each character. You know their history. You know who they are. You start feeling what they're feeling. You know their history. So they're developed correctly. So this is one of those movies, especially, like I said before, there's like The Bourne, you can't watch it all the time because it loses the suspense thing. But Star Wars is a movie that you can watch over and over and over again just for the excitement. It's so exciting, you know. Even if you saw it before, you see it again, you enjoy it just the same way. Mm-hmm. It's one of those movies that it should be in your collection.
And so I like that that trilogy is really pertaining to Luke. We're always like following Luke's story. And I like that we were never like sidetracked. Like, characters would have their moments, but this would be mostly about like Luke's story.
Exactly. Yes.
It's good to have like a tether to reel in an actual story with a character.
Exactly. Yeah. Luke was always the main character, the main character, mm-hmm. but all the others were not unimportant.
Yeah,
they were all very, very important. And if you would put the toys, you know, the sale to buy the toys, you know, you'll get the whole set. You will not just get Luke. Yeah. Actually, Luke is the most plain.
Yeah, the least one. The least favorite one. The least
that you would go for. But everything else, Arturito and everything, the robots, the beautiful thing, especially Boba Fett, that was my favorite toy. I mean, that was like, I would not part with that toy anywhere. I was a little kid. That was the toy for me. Boba Fett was my best toy. Mm-hmm. So, and you get to get to know them, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So, that's my second one.
Man, yeah, that's awesome. I feel the same way with RoboCop, but my second one, it's, I think, one of the most perfect, and I think, I feel like it outbeats all your trilogies. But I think that's my opinion, because I grew up with this trilogy, literally, is the Planet of the Apes trilogy. Hmm. And, like, the recent one. Because it's so perfect in that they try not to make it's a remake, but they try not to make it the exact they don't make it as a reboot, because we know there's a bunch of movies and even a TV show too.
It was a TV series.
Yeah,
and some movies, but they were not completely different.
Yeah,
from this one.
Yeah, this one had its own spin, which I loved. And even when I first saw this movie, I completely forgot that they had this was a remake. I thought this was like a standalone. Someone made this up, like, and this is the first time we're seeing it. So we go through this journey with this one ape, Caesar. And for me, like, I'm not getting any context from any of the shows there were before. And it's perfect because we're going through the path of this one ape in this whole trilogy. And the end of the first one, he can only rely on apes. Apes are his is only family. Apes don't kill each other. We're a family, not like humans. Humans are evil, and we find out that they're liars and they're bad. And that's what he got from this whole progression of the plot of the movie, of the first one. And then the second one, we see he understands now that not all apes are good. There's one that's the complete opposite. And then we go through this progression that he can't trust anybody, that not everybody is his family, but you need to like earn the respect of being a family. Yeah. You know, like in between the first and the second one, we see that there was like a progression of a community of apes, and he made this whole civilization, right? Yes. And then we see in the third one, because of like the second one, that the bad ape was trying to destroy what they had, the civilization, because he was still vengeful of humans and he wanted to kill every human. He saw that was not like the right choice to make. And then Caesar finally, in the end, like, makes the right choice. I don't want to spoil it because it's a really good movie and you guys should really watch it. But then then in the third one, we see, because of that consequence, now there's people that want to kill these apes. And they're the ones that are basically the animals now, because there's a human, like the apes are taking over. We see the humans feeling the same way the apes did in the first one. They're scared, helpless. This is not their world. And now they decide to fight back also. You know, the symmetry of the first one and the second one is the same. And we go through this character of this ape, Caesar. And it's amazing. The third one is perfect, beautiful, because they compare him to Moses from the Bible. How he has to take his people to the promised land. So in the movie they find a safer place, but there's conflict with the humans and stuff. And we see that Caesar turns vengeful also, because something happens in the movie that the humans are responsible for. And he ends up wanting to kill the leader of the humans in this new civilization. And he finds out later in the end that killing this person will not get you anywhere, but more hurt. And it's not only you that you're jeopardizing, it's everybody else. And then we find out later on, just like Moses couldn't go to the promised land, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, Caesar couldn't go to the promised land, but he still got them there safely. And it's a perfect symmetry between Moses and like Caesar. And it's
that's interesting.
It's so like beautiful, chef's kiss. And then we see the apes are finally safe, free from animals, and Caesar finally did what like he always wanted to do, is just to keep his family safe. Andy Serkis as the ape is beautiful. He played the ape from the first one to the third one beautifully, and you see like his progression speaking wise also, because even in the first one that he knew sign language, but the first word he learned was no. Then in the second one, he mumbles a little bit, but he still knew sign language. And then by the third one, he can finally speak full sentences clearly, and he progressed as a leader also. And it's a perfect movie, and you have to watch it.
I seen two of them, and they're okay. I mean, to me, I like them. They're very good movies. The thing is that I grew up with the old ones, right? And I was a little freaked out by the old ones. I developed like a little fear of monkey people, you know, because I was a little kid when they showed it on TV and everything. And I found it a little creepy because the mask that the, if you see the old ones, you could tell they're mask. They're not, you know, like a nice CGI or
yeah, it's pretty creepy. Like yeah,
they're very creepy. So I developed like a little fear of it. So when the Planet of the Apes came, I was like, yeah, I didn't want to watch it, you know. But I'm gonna make some an effort.
It's amazing visually, especially by the third one. It's beautiful.
I'm gonna make an effort. I'm gonna watch it too.
Yeah, and it's
check it out.
It's the perfect trilogy because it's so it's. The first, the second one is better than the first one, and then the third one becomes better than the second one. It's a progression of story. Matt Reeves did beautiful. Matt Reeves is the one that did the second one and the third one, and it's beautiful, like the way the story went, you know.
Perfect. You know, I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna see it. Since you, the way you explained it, you know, made me want to see it.
Especially the third one is the best. I'm telling you. You gotta watch it.
Definitely.
Woody Harrelson is the enemy, and it's awesome. But go ahead with your final one.
The final one that I wanted to me is Aliens. The original three Aliens, which is they made more, but they ended at three, and after many years, they brought it back. So it's, basically.
It doesn't really count. It's like the Star Wars stuff. It's not exactly. The original trilogy.
You know, the original plan was the three of them. We start with, you know, the Aliens trilogy. The first movie is named Alien. The second one's Aliens with an S. And the third one is Aliens 3. Alien 3, you know. So, basically, you know, in this movie, in part one... they land on a planet. They get this xenomorph. They get this thing that gets attached to one of the crew members. Now that this thing deposits an alien embryo inside the host, inside one the crew member, and then it comes out of their chest, and then it grows inside the ship and starts killing everybody. And the main character is Ripley, which everybody. Knows
Sigourney Weaver,
you know, excellent actress.
Yeah,
I mean the best. I mean, I was in love with her for years. When I was a teenager, I was in love with her. I mean, she's a great actress.
Yeah,
she did an excellent job with this. So Aliens, basically the alien, you know, Ripley defeats the alien at the last in part one, he shoots it out of the spacecraft. Now, you know, but it goes, you know, she goes into a cryo stage, you know, to travel, you know, through space. Then she wakes up many years later, you know, in the future basically. And now she finds out that people have been living in the planet where they found that alien thing. And this is the movie Aliens with an S. And the first movie, one alien. Second movie, hundreds of aliens. Now the aliens have taken on colonies, and they had to send the Marines, you know, the Space Marines, basically, like super heavy duty soldiers.
Yeah.
With Sigourney Weaver, with Ripley, she went as an advisor. Mm-hmm. But she ended up saving the whole day, like always, you know, which she's bad. She's great. I mean, like, she's
so
tough.
Yeah, it's amazing, like, the progression of that character for real, like, specifically, because even in the first one, you see, like, she was, like, scared. And by the second one, she's like, I know what tough. I'm doing. Like, she learned from the first one. She knows what she's doing.
She had no more fear against the... Mm-hmm. I mean, they... She has been battling him so many years that now she's like their family now.
Yeah.
You know, her and the monster, you know. But the alien. But the thing is that on this one, part two is the best alien movie. The best. the most action-packed alien movie I have, you know, is awesome. If you have to skip any of them, you shouldn't skip any of them. But if you do, part one and part three, don't even watch it. But part two, you have to watch. That's the best movie. Now, in part two, you know, Ripley's able to escape with a couple of people, with a girl, with a little girl, and a couple of guys. Now, in part three, it starts that their ship, something happens in their ship, and there was a malfunction, and they crash into a jail planet, a planet for that they put people in jail in there. You know, it's like a, you know, it's only prisoners in that planet. And in this, you know, when in the crash, everybody dies except Ripley. So Ripley comes out, you know, they take care of her. But in the ship that she was in, there was one of those parasites, one of those aliens, things that grab them to something. But this time it grabbed on to a dog instead of a person.
Poor doggy.
So the dog, you know, it produced an alien, and the alien, you know, started to kill everybody. But then later we find out that Ripley is also basically pregnant with an alien inside her chest, basically. But this one is a queen.
Oh, no.
You know, it's all, you know, basically that's why it didn't grow that fast like the other aliens, because since it's a queen alien, it has to be in the chest a lot, maybe a little longer or something like that. That's why it doesn't grow that fast. So throughout the movie, she already knows she's gonna die. So she has to find a way to kill the alien, the dog alien, and this one, the one that she has. So she has to has to sacrifice herself. You know, and the whole movie was pretty good. Okay, part three is not the best. And the CGI is not crazy good. Remember, this is from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, very good. It's a very good movie, you know. And it has a nice ending to it.
Yeah.
Now, if later on we can start getting into, you know, all the alien movies and everything, but they made more after this, but it was more to, you know, to get some money, you know.
Yeah, it really destroyed the original concept of the trilogy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this the alien was supposed to be the perfect organism. That it can adapt to anything, to anywhere, to anything. It could adapt. The parasite thing can go into any type of species, any species, and comes out as part alien and part of that species. So that's the thing with the alien. But from one to three, it was a perfect, that's what they said, it's a perfect story.
Mm-hmm.
Because it starts with the same character, it ends with the same character. Part one, it starts with Ripley, and part three ends with Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she carries the whole battle, the whole everything was great. I mean, there's a lot of action. Part one is classified more of a horror movie because mm-hmm. it's very scary. You know, there's a lot of jump scares and everything. It's a scary movie. It's considered more scary than sci-fi. Part two is more considered sci-fi than horror, but it's a little bit on the horror side.
Mm-hmm.
And part three is completely sci-fi. And it's not really too much of a horror in it.
Yeah.
You know, even though it scares you here and there, but it's not that, you know. Part one, be warned, it's mostly horror. It's mostly, it is scary. It's a scary movie. You're going to jump, you know. So, but it's an awesome movie. It was well made.
Yeah, I gotta rewatch it. I don't think I watched the third one, but for sure I watched the first and second one. Yeah.
Those are the best, basically. And then the other one, you know, afterwards they bring back Ripley through cloning, you know, to bring back the queen, alien queen. you know, and it becomes all a little too mixed up, and it's not, the movie really didn't make any sense, you know. But now we have what, Prometheus and
Covenant,
and then we have and Covenant.
There's another one, right?
No, those two. Those two. Right. Prometheus is the first one. Then
I like the Covenant. Covenant for sure was good because they try to fix what they did in Prometheus.
Exactly. It was in other words, the creation of the alien.
And Ridley Scott came back to work on Covenant.
Yes, exactly.
And because in the Prometheus, I think it really lost what the essence of what aliens was for. Was like to scare you. What, like, these aliens are going to get you, and Prometheus just like dumbed it down and just did more detail than what it should have been.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But they were good.
Mm-hmm. I like Covenant more. Covenant exactly. Was more, felt more of an actual alien movie.
Exactly. You're right. Because we actually get to see the alien in the end.
Yeah.
We actually get to see a xenomorph. Yeah. Because that's the name of the alien. They're called xenomorph. I really did not like the way they were created.
Yeah.
You know. Sucks. But, you know, because it really did not make any sense, the way they were created.
Yeah.
But, okay, I mean, it's a good try, you know.
Great actors, though.
Yeah, very good. Very good actor.
Michael Fassbender. Awesome actor. But for sure, as soon as we can, we'll be talking about our favorite TV shows. But for next week, we'll be talking about Justice League, the Snyder Cut, is coming out. And also Falcon and Winter Soldier, the first episode, is coming out. So either a 4-hour movie or a 30-minute show. I think we can do Snyder Cut first, I think. And then we do 2 episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier after that. We can do
definitely.
That.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
But yes, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys had fun. If you guys want us to do any other commentary on any things in particular, let us know. And thank you guys so much for listening. And we will catch you guys on the next one. Thank you, guys. Goodbye.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
This has been the Kingpin of Pop Culture Podcast. Thank you, guys, for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the Kingpin of PC, where we give you the latest news in the entertainment industry.
That's why I'm the Kingpin.
Bye, buddy. Bye, buddy.